And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagmann and Hagmann Report for today. Well, I have a great program for you lined up, folks. I want to thank both J.D. and John Robertson for lining things up and taking care of some business today. The first segment, we're going to be talking with Brittany Pettibone and Tara from Reality Calls and getting the larger view of what's going on, the landscape of the censorship that's going on and taking place. Not just here in America, but all across the world, talking about how the news is not just being censored, but being managed. This is no small issue, ladies and gentlemen. This is something we've been dealing with for quite some time. I will say this. This is something we've been dealing with, especially over the last, I don't know, 3 months or so. And it's something that we have to really understand the various nuances and intricacies of what's taking place in order to understand the importance and who's doing it, why they're doing it, and to what end. And I think that this will play a big role. Here's the sad but honest truth. I mean, Donald Trump can get in office, the censorship with respect to the media, the structure of the media is still going to be enforced. It's not going to change, at least not immediately. If anything, they will double down. And I do think that that's part of the process. I want to thank Eric the Tech for coming in tonight. He's working under the weather. So, sometimes we walk on both legs, and sometimes we walk with a crutch, and we got a couple of crutches, a wheelchair, and a gurney during this broadcast. So anyway, but this is extremely important information that we need to get out, and we need to really dissect, understand, not just yell, scream, rant, stomp our feet and pound the desk. Although that, believe me, there's a place for that. But to talk about how we, as an independent media, and we, as consumers, because we're consumers as well, but we're also part of the independent media. So how we will respond to this, all of this, how we will handle all of this. Folks, we broadcast live each and every weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. right here on the Global Star Radio Network, and also Blog Talk Radio, BTR. I want to thank both of them for their hosting our show, and also YouTube Live for as long as we can. And I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek, not really. You know, you just don't know about the asymmetrical warfare. You don't know what's going to pop up. And I say this because, and I want people to really understand, there are forces, and this is something that people just don't really, they haven't got a clue about. When you have a platform such as ours, you attract a great deal of attention, and you're able to see analytics, and you're able to see the analytics that's in real time, or, you know, the following day or whenever. And, we're able to pinpoint pretty much, things other places can't pinpoint or don't pinpoint. But anyway, cause we do have specialists to do that, that who volunteered their time and are very good at it. And it amazes me to see. It gives us a clearer picture of who the enemies are, enemies of independent media. And something called the deep state, we're going to be getting into that more later. But the deep state, it's not just, we're not talking about just government. Although that's that's an interesting part of it. We're talking about arms of the government. We're talking about corporations. We're talking about businesses, business interests that are heavily involved in this for various reasons. Their motives are all different. And then the lower rungs, see, the various levels of attacks are, the attacks are constant. If you can imagine, we'll just use the Hagman and Hagman report as, pretend we're a server out there, okay? Pretend that our entire operation is just a server. And you know how servers get bombarded with DDoS attacks and such. And different types of attacks. And they record these attacks electronically. Well, of course, we're not a server, but using that analogy. Using that analogy, we're constantly being bombarded with attacks. And why am I focusing on this? Because, and I don't recall who said this, but you or we are defined in many respects by our enemies. If we are being effective, we have pretty high profile, pretty powerful enemies. And looking at the enemies and talking about these enemies and identifying them gives us an idea of where we're being effective. So, although it's vexing and it's tiring and it's full of hassles and just quite frankly, it's just crazy, you're able to put together, connect dots that you would not otherwise connect. And I hope that makes sense to some people out there. And even more importantly, all right, when you have either individuals or clusters of individuals that do the very same thing, perhaps infiltrate a particular storyline. We'll just say what is known as Pizzagate. So you'll have people saying, oh my, oh dear, they're talking about Pizzagate, and we're going to, you know, they attack for that reason in order to take away the attention from whatever the subject matter might be. That I use Pizzagate just as one example. Because it's an interesting example how it has morphed, it has evolved from into something that it never should have evolved into. I'm not saying it's not real, it's absolutely real. But it's been hijacked, for example, and many of the finer points, and there is so much there with respect to that topic. But some people have taken it, hijacked it, and created it into something that it never was, for example. Well, that's what's taking place today with many topics, and I just use that as an example. The other part of this, now that's the news. Okay, well, I'm talking about the news. I'm talking about the geopolitics, the domestic news, the political segments, that whole secular conglomerate of things. That's really a dynamic, evolving, ever-changing operational narrative, if you will. And we're always on top of that, and we try to be a step ahead or on top of it, or if not on top of it, a step ahead. Try not to be too far behind, but sometimes that does happen depending on where our focus is, because we don't have unlimited resources. If we had unlimited resources, I could tell you this, there would be, I'll just say that there would be, much more uncovered. But I think we're doing a pretty good job with what we've got. And everyone's working really well beyond their, I mean, up to their capacity, and in some cases, you know, to the point of just doing it well beyond that. But so that's the secular part of this. And then you've got the how we approach things from a conservative Christian point of view. Now, that's directly opposite, of course, the progressive secularist point of view, or the progressive atheist, or even the progressive pseudo-Christian. There is that out there. Because I find it difficult mentally to really wrap my head around how someone can be a progressive, by definition, political progressive, and a Christian at the same time. It just doesn't, in my mind, it just doesn't work out for me. For example, on the issue of, we'll say, same-sex marriage or homosexual marriage, to me, how can you be a Christian yet embrace the values or embrace the topic or embrace the act, I should say, of homosexual marriage? Well, the pretext, of course, is equality. And infamously, well, Christians should be tolerant of all peoples. It's once more, the conversation is being redirected away from the actual act, the content. But what we're finding, ladies and gentlemen, is that, and Alex Jones spoke briefly about this in a number of his videos. And if you put together some of his videos of late, you'll see, and you can see his frustration. And you can see, and he's not wrong. One might disagree with his tactics, but he's not wrong. Frankly, I find his righteous anger to be on the, you know, absolutely 100%. But here's the thing: if we are to be investigators into issues of today, we also have to be investigators into those same issues through the lens of our Christian faith. Now, otherwise, a lot of this stuff doesn't make sense. Going back to Pizzagate, if you look at this merely as some sort of sexual or secular immorality or secular proclivity of, oh, just nuisance or nonsense behavior, you're not going to understand the deeper ramifications of it unless you look through the lens of our Christian faith and the Bible especially. Now, I was telling my wife this morning before I left for the office, I said, you know, I'm not one for, I've never been one to carry a Bible around with me in one arm and, you know, act like a pastor, minister, preacher, whatever. I have faith. I'm a believer. I've got faith. But I always looked at the situation in segments that way, the news that way. But I didn't necessarily, you know, I look at people like Pastor David Langford. I look to him to come out and to preach. I don't preach. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a minister. I'm none of that. I'm an investigator. But I investigate through that prism of Scripture. And I said that only to bring this back and to look at the censorship that is being employed by the powers behind the veils, behind the people in America and all across Europe. And we're going to be hearing from Tara, from Reality Calls, and Brittany Pettimone. Two continents, two different countries, the other side of the world, basically. And sharing and talking about the larger topic of censorship. But again, when we approach this, you have to take a look at this in order to understand it completely. You have to take a look at this through the prism of our Christian faith. Once you understand what's going on, and then you see the attacks and you evaluate the attacks, whether the attacks are to shut you down, to marginalize your message, no matter what it is, it's being done by individuals that are part of a collective effort. I'm not sure if that makes much sense to you. There's a collective effort out there. It's an umbrella of loosely knit, non-organized groups of people and individuals. Some of these individuals claim to be, for example, very, very pious and staunch Christians. Others claim to be very, very, very good, responsible, credentialed journalists. Others claim to be journalists and authors. Others claim to be bloggers with an opinion. That's fine. But one thing that separates, and if they identify with the, for example, if they identify with the Christian faith, oh, it's all about Christianity. It's all about uniting under the umbrella of Christianity. But their actions, in turn, state otherwise, based on their covert, unseen type of activities. What does that tell you about those people? And more importantly, what does that tell you about the message that's being attacked? So I want to open tonight. That lays the foundation, I believe, from a not just a secular point of view, which you're going to hear tonight, but a Christian perspective. Bear in mind, there are Christians out there who believe that they are 100% right about everything. And I guess that's okay. I mean, if one is not going to be able to change their minds, or if, as long as it's consistent with Bible prophecy, Bible scripture, and as long as, you know, that's fine. But I submit to you, if they're part of that umbrella of people who are going out there and actually assailing not just the message, but the messengers, or both, or redirecting the conversation, they do fall under that umbrella, I believe, of loosely knit, individual yet collective group who are part of, want to see the message shut down. Now some people might say, well, it's because of jealousy or envy. I don't know that to be the case, but okay, maybe that's the case. And if that's the case, those are few and far between in my view. I'm looking at the larger picture where the attacks are coming from and originating from people who appear to be one thing, but are something totally different. Appear to be non-funded, but are heavily funded. Appear to be pro-conservative idea, you know, pro-conservative, but act in a manner that is uber progressive. Appear to be very Christian and very pious and very biblically oriented. But their actions tell otherwise. And I find it interesting too, some of the very people who will attack, whether it's Tara, whether it's Brittany, whether it's people on Twitter, whether it's people on Facebook, or regardless, whoever seems to be named in the fake news list and beyond. If the attacks are coming from the Christian arena, the camp, and the Christians, you've got to ask yourself why. And I've found that I find it very interesting that many of those attackers are very silent on matters of politics, for example. Some claim, well, politics is not, we don't deal with politics because it's not part of the Bible. Okay. Well, I don't know how you can really put that together with, you know, being about the Father's business yet stay out of the political and political arena, political subjects. But that being the case, the reason that, to me, the reason this is important, ladies and gentlemen, is because all of us in the independent media, whether Christian or secular, are under assault like no other time. The NDAA Act of 2017, the creation of that Board of Governors, all of this combined, while today it is not obviously being used to shut down the independent media, there is an incremental and very effective and very methodical step-by-step manner being employed right now. And I am very concerned, because they will go after and are going after the low, so to speak, the low-hanging fruit today. Some of the smaller news venues, they're coming after people like us. They've always been after people like and including InfoWars. They've always been after people like Rick Wiles. And I'm almost afraid to mention people like InfoWars and Rick Wiles, because that always seems to open the door to more attacks against them. I mean, I've seen some tremendous attacks against Rick Wiles, tremendous attacks against InfoWars, and tremendous attacks against people like Paul McGuire, and tremendous attacks against Steve Quayle. Numerous, relentless attacks against those who dare to speak out with real news. And again, the reason I bring this up now and spend so much time on this now is to really convince you, or to appeal to you, to let you know. I guess I want to be the canary in the coal mine. I don't want to be, but I should act as one and say what is happening today is a lot different than what's been happening over the last several months. There has been a shift so great in this ability to censor us. Something has happened. Whether it was the beginning of the release of the Podesta emails, sometime around the beginning to middle to end of October, something happened. The path of the enemy. Well, no, not the path. The path has pretty much always been the same. But the enemy has doubled down. Their efforts have been increased, and the attacks have been more and more relentless. If I could get into specifics, I would. But by doing so, would be irresponsible, especially when you're in the midst of fighting the very attacks that you're talking about, because you don't want to give away your hand. But that's enough of that. I just wanted to make it clear that if you value in programs like ours, and it's not just limited to us, if you value programs like Ted Brower and Austin Brower and Dave Hodges has been under relentless attacks. And if you value InfoWars, and if you value Rick Wiles, or name the flavor of the independent, or name the independent media that you value, if you value them, you need to support them. We can't, I'm going to tell you right now, it's horrendous. The full, and Tara and Brittany Pettibone, I'm going to talk about this, because they are, folks, right now, you just can't even imagine the level of attacks. And they go beyond electronic, they go beyond the algorithms that are employed to to move their stuff down and, you know, to make it so you can't find it. Now we're starting to see more surveillance and other proactive measures, and it's not good. It's not good. Before the bottom of the hour here, Sergeant Tim has got an article, What is Missed in the Sanctions on Russian Spying. Folks, go to HagmanReport.com. This is one of the most important articles right here. I thought I'd have time to get into it. One of the most important articles on our website right now, or will be in moments. And it's by Sergeant Tim. His last name is redacted until he retires, but What is Missed in the Sanctions on Russian Spying. He talks about when he lived in Russia, in Moscow. The harassment the U.S. diplomatic personnel were subject to when in Moscow. He talks about when he was there. He'd have secret police come in and snoop through everything, eat his food in the refrigerator, make no bones about being inside his home. But the sanctions with Russia that were declared important, very important on the geopolitical stage. Do not underestimate what's going on there. They can't be understated. So there's a lot of things happening, but I thought at least the talk about the censorship was extremely important, especially in light of what we've got coming up here with Brittany Pettibone and Tara from Reality Calls. So this on the Hagman Report. Folks, follow us on our social networking. Personally, I've got it, and also Hagman Report. Be right back. And welcome back, folks, to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug Hagman here. The first part of the program, opening up, talking about the general censorship and the attacks on the independent media, the new media, the real media, and how that's shaping up and how we are dealing with that. And I know that our guests right now are dealing with the same thing. And it's something that, you know, we're just going to have a conversation. We have right now with us Brittany Pettibone and Tara from Reality Calls. If you go in our program description, if you go to Hagman Report, just go there. Just go to HagmanReport.com. And it, within the article that John Robertson posted for tonight are links to both Tara and Brittany. Now, Tara said, you know what, man, it's like it's 12:30 at night and I'm dog tired. And Brittany's over there in the West Coast saying, wow, man, I feel good. No, but seriously, we are so blessed, ladies and gentlemen, to have both these young ladies joining us. I feel, I hope I'm allowed to say this. I feel kind of like I've got a fatherly protection. I want to protect both of these young ladies like a father, because they're into some pretty, what would you call it? Just pretty dangerous areas, and they're ballsy. Sorry, but that's the way they are. They're without fear, and they're doing a great job. But they're wrestling, as we all are, with censorship. So, I don't want Tara to doze off because my voice is so soothing. I don't want Tara to doze off again. Tara from the UK. It's well after midnight. We're keeping her up, and she's so kind to be a part of this broadcast. So we're going to start out with Tara. Tara, thanks for joining us, and welcome.
Hey, I'm happy to be here, even if it means staying up a little bit later. I'm looking forward to moving to New York, and then I'll be able to talk to you guys at a normal time, so that'll be good.
The real time. And Brittany, you have to understand. See, Eastern time is what I call the real time. everything else, I spent a couple of days in Montana and in the West, and it's like, my goodness, you know, you have to wake up a couple of hours earlier than normal just to be on time to be at the office, virtual office. But anyway. Well, so yeah, looking forward to having you in the States. It's great. Thank you for joining us. And let's bring Brittany Pettibone on. Brittany Pettibone, of course, with her sister Tara, has written a great, just a great a series of science fiction books as well. Got great reviews from Blue Ink. And of course, again, the links are in our program description. But Brittany, thank you for joining us as well.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me back.
Well, Brittany, let me ask you. I'll go to you first, Brittany, and then we can bring Tara into this. All three of us are just kind of a conversation right now about what's really taking place with respect to censorship in the larger sense. Is that where we all want to go, Tara and Brittany? Is that
sure.
where?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds great.
All right, Brittany, what are you running into right now with respect to censorship on the? Because you're working on, you know what? I don't want to give away anything. I talked to John, and I know things, and I don't want to say things out of school. So you go ahead and talk to us about what you've been experiencing here with respect to censorship, and then we can, because I don't want to give away anything that you're working on.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, as a whole, we have all been feeling the censorship. It's not just the Pizzagate investigators. It's also just people speaking their general mind, people who are going against the grain, you know, Trump supporters in general. There are certain Trump supporters who will speak their mind no matter what they're thinking. They have absolutely no filter. And these are the kinds of people that platforms like Twitter and Facebook, you know, detest the most. Because, you know, for example, someone like, I'm not sure if you're aware of Milo Yiannopoulos, like he is yep. one of the most outrageous public figures. But he does it intentionally to provoke a reaction, a strong reaction. So these kind of agitators, so to speak, are the kind of people who these platforms are looking to censor the most. But it is us as a whole now, recently, which was signed by Obama, the Disinformation and Propaganda Act was just about a week ago passed, signed by Obama. So they are slowly, incrementally taking measures to basically create the Ministry of Truth, you know. Everything that they say is true, and everything else, you know, they can just dismiss as fake news. So that's our battle right now. We have already, in a sense, overcome the mainstream media largely during the election cycle, but now it's the war of fake versus real news. And that's something that I think a lot of people need to become aware of more and to push back against it. Because we know we have the power. Yeah. We saw that during the election, so.
We do have that power. In fact, we've got that power more, for example, here in the United States than over in Europe or in the UK. And Tara, you're facing a whole different flavor, type of censorship, aren't you, in the UK?
Yeah, in the UK, also most other countries in Europe, really, especially places like Germany and Sweden. Recently, a mayor in France was, I think he's been put in jail or something just for tweeting about the great replacement that's going on there, which is demographic displacement. They're being replaced by migrants. It's just very obvious what's happening, and you can't talk about it. Like, especially if you're a public figure, it's like they will just crack down on you straight away. I think the only reason I'm getting away with saying the things I'm saying is because I'm not big enough yet. But that in itself, what we see is we see that as people's reach becomes larger, as their audience becomes larger, they know what's happening. So they have to censor and censor and censor and censor until before you know it, they're not even talking about political issues anymore because it's just too controversial.
Wow. Well, Brittany, I guess, would you agree with that they're going after the low-hanging fruit first, or the low-hanging fruit, shall we say, the smaller bloggers or citizen journalists? I don't like the word blogger. The smaller citizen journalists out there that have respectable platforms are really the primary targets right now, and they're going to work their way up. Is that something you think? I mean,
they're going after... They're going after everyone, but it depends on how you present yourself. There are some small, really small Twitter accounts, you know, people I know that have run them that have gotten suspended, you know, just for tweeting about Pizzagate or just for, you know, saying things like, I believe pedophiles should get the death penalty. I know there was one person who wrote me the other day. He said he got suspended for saying that. So, but largely they do want to go after the biggest voices. For example, someone that was recently suspended that was a large presence on Twitter. His name was Jared Wyant. He had about 130,000 followers. And he was very outspoken about Islam. He's very anti-Islam, and you know many other things, a wide range of things. But he, you know, people like him or Ricky Vaughn's another one, and Milo Yiannopoulos, they want to go after the large ones because they have the most reach and they have the most influence. But I think what they're realizing now is that in suspending those people, they're only making them larger. You know, for example, Milo Yiannopoulos, it was just announced today, he has a $250,000 book deal with Simon & Schuster.
Right.
Which is incredible. That actually blew me away, actually, because it's interesting that the, you know, the mainstream publishing houses, you know, would do something like that. I mean, it's a great thing for free speech, but, I think obviously they're just in it for the money because controversy sells. But, yes, they're definitely going after the larger people first. And then, yeah, and other people, they can just shadow ban you on Twitter without your knowledge, and you know, you'll just have to go in and figure that out on your own. Or, you know, they'll do it sneakily as well. And who knows on Facebook? I haven't even been going on Facebook as much, to be honest, because I believe the censorship there is just absolutely out of control.
That's over the top, from what I've seen. And, yeah, it's, to me, yeah, it's over the top. If you're not some self-obsessed person posting, you know, what you're having or what you're doing for vacation, Facebook is really useless in terms of anything else. But anyway, well Tara, so whereas, so Tara, you're seeing the same thing though, but just from a different perspective, I guess.
Oh, well, of course I'm experiencing the social media censorship as well. It's just that, you know, I mean, being banned from YouTube or Facebook or whatever, that's not as bad as being sent to jail. You know what I mean?
True.
So it's kind of like that's first priority in my mind for us here in Europe. You know, I'd like to be able to talk about important political issues legally. That would be great. but after that, then yes, also it would be also good if conservatives weren't constantly being banned from social media. And, and you know, some of the people that Brittany mentioned, I followed them, and it's not like their tweets were not hateful. Their tweets were like totally reasonable things that, you know, you would say to your friends. So, and they're just getting banned because they have a large following, and Twitter doesn't want that. You know, the people, whoever it is, I think the Saudis have a quite a large share in Twitter.
Wow.
It's not to their advantage, so they ban them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Exactly.
Well, Tara, in your case, and I'm not even sure, well, I guess we could name, what are, in your case, Tara, what are some of the sensitive subjects, for example, that you can't tweet, blog, talk about without fear of going to jail, Tara? I mean, can you even name the
It's literally anything of any protected group. If you say anything remotely bad or offensive that could be perceived as offensive about any protected group, even if it's true, okay, you can get reported for a hate crime and then, go to jail or get fined or both.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Any protected group. So that means gays, that means migrants, that means people of every different minority, women, any protected group,
right.
Anything that you have affirmative action for, anything like that, yeah.
And Brittany, I mean, it's kind of the same thing here domestically, correct?
Well, I mean, the way they do it here, censorship, it's a lot to do with, they'll ban you, you know, from social media and stuff, but, you know, in the real world, it's a lot to do with human respect and being in, you know, the group. Like, for example, if you're, hardcore conservative who's speaking out against, all of your opinions are politically incorrect, you will most likely not do well in the mainstream, you know, whatever field you're in, whether it be entertainment, business, you know, the corporate world, whatever. You're not going to fit in and be accepted there. So you basically have to be an entrepreneur if you're going to be someone who speaks exactly what you believe. But the reason that a lot of us think this is such a big deal, the banning, is because it's the first step, you know, and now with this fake news, they're shutting down, trying to shut down alternative media, trying to silence them. This is how they are going to mold a narrative that they're going to silence everyone else. So the only narrative that people see is the one they want you to see. So, yeah, it's really dangerous. This is the first step. And, you know, this will snowball and go more and more quickly if we allow it to. So we need to take the stand now and let them know that they can't get away with it. So I know that Twitter is a private company. So if they want to ban people, it's perfectly within their right, which is why we should, when these things happen, you know, people, you know, companies like Facebook and Twitter, you know, get out of control. We should replace them immediately, create other alternatives. Like, you know, the alternative media, which is trying to replace the mainstream media, which very well, you know, could. It has a great chance, especially during Trump's presidency. We need to do that with, you know, tech companies, social media. And, like, one good alternative right now is a platform called Gab.ai, which is dedicated to free speech. It's similar to Twitter. So if we can just, you know, show them that we don't need them, and that if they're not going to play the game of the people, then they're going to be replaced. I think that'd be the best solution.
All right. And yeah, exactly. And I wonder, Brittany, and I'm going to toss this to Tara, but I'm wondering if under Trump, look, Trump is just one guy, although his people that he's dragging in, bringing into the administration are going to have, I'm sure are going to make a lot of changes, but let me bounce this to Tara first. Tara, from your perspective over in the UK, are you hearing what's this pending Trump incoming administration? What are you hearing about it in the UK, and do you think that it's going to make a difference?
I am looking forward to it so much. You know, I think that people, you know, maybe people think it shouldn't be this way, but it is this way. You know, what happens in the US has a huge impact on what happens in the UK and Europe, obviously, and other countries across the Western world and the rest of the world. The US is like the leading country in the world. We all pay attention to your politics. We all care about what's going on. And the US really sets the tone for what's appropriate. So when we've got someone like Donald Trump our politicians in Parliament actually debated about whether to ban Trump from entering the UK, by the way, for hate speech. Are you aware of this? So you can just kind of imagine.
Right,
you know,
there
kind
up with
of
Michael
reactions.
Savage. Yeah, okay.
I just wanted to mention quickly, with the censorship on social media, it's not necessarily the banning of accounts that actually causes the damage. It's because everyone's afraid to talk about certain topics because they know they might be banned.
Ooh.
You know, so that means it isolates people. It means like you can't talk about this topic and you're not going to see anyone else talking about this topic. So you think you're the only one. It's psychological warfare.
Self-censorship, in a sense. You're self-censoring yourself because you don't want to be the head above everyone else and the one to take the hammer, basically. Wow. And Brittany, I mean, how that sounds pretty much like here, too, right? I mean...
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, all right. Yeah, and I don't... And please feel free, because I don't want to, Brittany, I don't want to, again, speak out of school, but there's a lot of information. You've been doing a lot of research, and folks, citizen journalists are, too, very, very adept, very, look, I've been an investigator 30 years, and I know a good investigative work product when I see it, and Tara from Reality Calls and Brittany Pettibone, both have tremendously great investigative acumen and great work products. So, and they're right on the money. So I would follow them very closely. But Brittany, can you give just kind of a tease, if you will, without jeopardizing whatever you might be working on, or to the extent you feel comfortable, about what you're finding currently? Do you want to go there, or do you want to just not do that? It's up to you.
Well, of course, I'll just let you know. Okay, so there are a couple anonymous researchers who have been working on Pizzagate from the beginning. There's actually one who, he's actually responsible for breaking Pizzagate. His name is Pleading the Yiff.
Yep.
He broke the Laura Silsby connection to Haiti and the whole Haiti story.
Yep.
So I got in contact with him a couple weeks ago, and so we've been speaking. He has his own little research team. There are a lot of things they've been uncovering, and he talked to me about them all, which he's planning to drop either on January 20th, on Inauguration Day, or, you know, the following day, within the following week or so, because there's a lot of things. So they have to do with recent discoveries in the WikiLeaks emails, some more information on Haiti, several different things. I can't mention exactly any specifics right now, sure. But there are some really large breaks that they're making, and they, yes, are intentionally waiting until Trump is in office before they break any of them, which I will help publicize when they are out.
I think everyone is going to have a big breath of relief, a sigh of relief after the inauguration, including Tara, despite her proximity to the United States. I mean, her you know, distance from the United States, but nonetheless being a part of it. Tara, what might you be working on if you care to share that would be of critical importance to what we're talking about now?
Well, I've actually launched a new podcast so that I can have kind of long-form discussions with people on topics such as this. And I've just done a podcast with Andrew Kerr, who you guys had on.
Right.
And he has actually been uncovering this new legislation. For example, some of the most important points are that this new legislation gives the government the ability to fund the media.
Whoa. See, we talked about this before, and I'm glad you brought this up. We've got about 6 minutes to the top of the hour, so Tara, please explain that, because I think that's missed by a lot of people. Now you're talking about what's nestled within the NDAA, correct? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So if you want to explain that, because you just heard that funding the media or Ministry of Truth, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm.
Mystery, yeah, propaganda. I mean, right. yeah, whatever, right way, they lie anyway, so either way works. But, I mean, if you think about it, what this is going to do is if the government has the ability to, like, give grants to, like, Fox News or CNN or whatever, you can only imagine that means they have the ability to take that money away. So if the media organization becomes dependent on government grants to report true news, then they are going to be afraid of losing that grant and thus in the government's pocket. So there is no separation of state and press, which is an important separation to maintain if you care about truth and democracy.
Exactly. So, all right. And Brittany, are you looking at the same things as well with respect to things nestled within the NDAA of 2017?
Yes, of course. But are you referring to the recently passed Disinformation Act?
Umbrella. Everything that covers that. Yes.
Yeah, 100%. And so. And I mean, if you look at like the mainstream media, like Washington Post, you know, all these different mainstream media outlets, they've already primed the general public to essentially equate, you know, Russian propaganda with fake news. So anyone, you know, at this point defending, you know, insisting that the election wasn't hacked, or if it was, please provide us with evidence. You know, you can be discredited. I've had so many people accuse me of being a Russian mole, which is absolutely ridiculous, but genuinely accuse me of that. And this is really dangerous. Like, I mean, with what happened today, the sanctions that Obama is bringing against Russia,
yes,
because of the alleged hack. I mean, he's trying to essentially start World War III, it looks like, before he leaves office. So this, I mean, the fake news, it's that damaging, this whole narrative.
So, and I'm glad you brought that up. And Tara, thanks for hanging in there, because I want to get your take on this Russian sanctions too, what you're saying. But Brittany, I'm glad you brought this up, because we have an author. In fact, you can go to HagmanReport.com and you can read the his article about the sanctions for the harassment of diplomats. But this has been going on for decades, this type of harassment. The author of this article has actually written about Heck when he was in Moscow, as in diplomatic status. The secret police would go into his apartment, eat his food, leave dirty dishes in his sink. Wow. You know, not make any part. You know, it's no big deal. So, what the heck is going on with this, Brittany? I mean, let me give you a better question. It's not really about the diplomatic harassment. It's really not about any one specific thing. This is kind of just poking with a big stick at Russia, as far as I'm concerned, for no other reason than to A, make Trump's job a lot harder, and B, hey, on the off chance that we could, piss a lot of people, you know, a lot of countries off. I'm just, excuse my language, but to perhaps start something, you know, before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, initially, I mean, the whole anti-Russia narrative was being peddled because, you know, over the pipeline in Syria.
Right.
So there was that. They wanted to start a war over that. And then, it, you know, very strategically, they attempted to tie Donald Trump to Russia, lump him in there, you know, say Vladimir Putin was the leader of the alt-right, and then paint every Trump supporter as an, you know, a member of the alt-right. So they're trying to lump everyone who disagrees with them, who is opposed to them, as, you know, somehow being involved in Russia, you know, what Russia's doing. Although, you know, they'll just make these accusations with absolutely no proof. They still haven't provided any proof about, you know, Russia hacking the election. But it's interesting, you know, because they'll say Russia hacked the election, but the evidence is classified. Why would we show it to you? And it's kind of like, well, why would we believe you and, you know, potentially go to war with Russia over you saying that that's what happened?
Yeah.
You know? And I mean,
where have we heard
after,
that before? You know,
yeah.
I mean, how many times? I didn't mean to cut you off, Brittany.
No.
We're at the top of the hour, and Tara, man, just infuse that caffeine, or I want to send you some purple sticks from Health Masters. It's green tea. It's a good pick me up. Send it over to the UK. So because she's so gracious for staying up late, and of course Brittany for her time, gift of time. Folks, we're gonna be right back. Tara from Reality Calls and Brittany Pettibone, two fantastic citizen journalists. We're gonna be right back. Stay with us.